First Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Obviously means the wives. He's been talking about wives. According to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come to this subject, we pray that thou would teach us from thy word. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, for it's in his name we'd ask it. Amen. To understand this verse, we need to try and put yourself in the position of these men. These men had just been converted out of a very ungodly, evil lifestyle. We know that from chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3, where he tells them that you no longer should live the rest of your time. In other words, don't live as you used to live. And in verse 3, he said, the pastime of our life, look what he said. We walked in lasciviousness. This is verse 3 of 1 Peter 4. Lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, that's wild parties, and abominable idolatries. It was a wicked, wicked lifestyle in the first century. You just need to read a good encyclopedia and you'd be astounded at the wickedness. But also, women were not held in very high status at all. So they had grown up in a lifestyle all their life where women were looked upon as mere property. They were abused, they were exploited, but now they're converted. They're saved. And the question is, now that we're saved and my wife's saved, what do I do as a husband? How do I live? How do I behave toward her? And so you can imagine the startling message that they received from Peter. Of course, it's the word of God. So revolutionary to how husbands among the unsaved would have treated their wives in those days. Of course, it's still God's word for us today. It doesn't change, though we're living in the 21st century. It's only a single verse, yet it's brimful of profound teaching that can transform a marriage. Notice the word likewise. Likewise. Like the wives of verse 1 who are told to submit even to their ungodly husband. Like Christ in the end of 1 Peter 2 we looked at it, the one who voluntarily submitted himself to those evil men who spat in his face, who crucified him, who reviled him, yet he reviled not again, but yet he willingly submitted. Why? So that we could be redeemed. And so the idea is of submission. Submission in the sense, remember what we said, it means to have that servant attitude to put the other person's welfare, interest before your own comfort. So in that sense, submit. Showing that love. Really, it explains what Paul has been saying in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Christ submitted to so much suffering for the church. Christian husband, here is how you're to live. This is what love is about. Remember, love is more than a feeling. Love is a verb. Love is action. Love is a matter of choice. It's a matter of conduct. And so, this explains what Christian love is for the husband. Likewise. So, here's how you do it. Here's how husbands are to love your husbands. You see, you may have read in Ephesians 5, and you read a verse, husbands, love your wives. And you go, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to love your wife? What does it mean? Well, 1 Peter 3:7 tells us, here's how. Three things. Number one, look at it, dwell with them according to knowledge. Christian husbands, live with your wife with understanding. Live with your wife with understanding. In other words, treat her thoughtfully. Treat her thoughtfully. Dwell means to make a home. Yes, it's good to provide a house, but a house isn't necessarily a home. Peter is saying, husband, make it a home. Dwell with them. That's the idea of intimacy, of knowing them, of knowing them. You see, a man can become so involved with business, with life, with hobbies, with interests, maybe even church life, that they're not giving much time to knowing their wife. And Peter's saying here, listen, you are to dwell with them. Of course, it's obvious, and it's perfectly obvious, that one way to develop this togetherness is to do things together. How can you dwell with somebody if you're not doing things together? It may be a walk, it may be... It's hard to know much to say. Helping with the dishes, not simply because your wife needs help, but just to do something together. To do something together. This is what it's talking about. Go shopping. Now, even if you can't stand going round the shop, at least you can drive her and wait in the car and read. No, you better go further than that. But you need to do things together. The idea is here, intertwine your lives. Remember the basic principles we talked about? Marriage, what is it? You're to leave all other relationships. You are to cleave unto your wife, and you're to weave your lives together. So the first lesson here of a husband's responsibility is to dwell, is to live with your wife with understanding. In other words, listen. Listen. Not just, yes, dear. Listen. And you know what it is? There's a difference between hearing and listening. You know, hearing sounds. Listen to her needs, to express her views, and so on. In other words, after the Lord, she is to have first place in a Christian husband's thoughts. Men, all of us, think of how Christ listens to us. You know, the Bible speaks, thy maker is thy husband. That was to Israel, but it's true of all God's people. In a sense, Christ is our husband. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. Isn't it wonderful when you have a need and you go to Christ, he's never too busy to listen to you? Isn't it wonderful when you go to the Lord with your worries and concerns, the Lord gives you his full attention? Isn't that wonderful? Christian husbands, live with your wife with understanding as Christ loved you and gave himself for you. That's what it's talking about. Dwell together means there has to be that verbal, emotional, social, intellectual togetherness. Now, that was startling to those men. I need to underline that again. Do you know in Jewish culture, I may have mentioned this some time ago, not in this series, but do you know what devout Jews, Jewish men to this day pray? Ladies, you'll be shocked. Do you know what prayer that Jewish men have? Jehovah, Lord, I thank you that I wasn't born a woman. Yes, I'm not making that up. Jewish men pray that. That's some attitude, isn't it? Greeks didn't have a very good attitude towards wives or women in general. They looked upon them simply as property. Romans were worse. In Roman culture, they could divorce a wife for any reason at all, just cast her off if it took a notion. So Peter is saying to these men, listen, you're saved now. You can't treat your wife like that. You're to treat her thoughtfully. You're to live with her with understanding. Look at the next phrase, according to knowledge. According to knowledge. I remember being told years ago, somebody said to me, Ron, watch out for the man tells you he understands women, for he'll lie about everything else. But men, if you're married, there's one woman you are to understand, because God commands you. Isn't that right? God commands you in this verse, understand your wife. You're to understand her feelings, her longings, her fears. You're to understand. That doesn't come easily, because it goes without saying. Some may deny it. Men and women do think differently. There's a lot of things I was going to say on that, but I have to hurry on. Men and women do look at things differently, and they do think differently. Isn't that right? Of course they do. But we'll not go on to give examples. They do. But you're to understand your wife. You're to think of her anxieties and her cares and her needs. How can you meet the needs if you don't understand her? And remember, we're talking about all relationships of life. How can we relate to people if we don't understand where they're coming from? We're thinking even of witnessing maybe that difficult person in work who seems to be antagonistic to the gospel. You're to seek to understand where they're coming from. Why do they have this bitterness? Why do they have this antagonism? What's their background? That's what I'm trying to say. But especially in a Christian marriage, husband, you're to understand, live with her with understanding. Let's get to the second one. Look at the verse. Not only are you to live with them with understanding, you're to lift up your wife with honor. Look what it says. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. You are to lift her up. It's your duty as a husband to lift up your wife. You're to treat her courteously. Courteously. You're to lift her up. And I use that expression because that's what it means. Now, that expression, weaker vessel, it sometimes gets a bit of a smile. It's not derogatory. It's not derogatory. Men are weak vessels. Men, you are weak vessels. The word vessel is used in Romans 9 of mankind in general, the idea that God has made us, but we're weak. Through the fall and so on, we're weak. We're just flesh, we're frail. It's used over in 2 Timothy 2 of believers being vessels that the Lord can use. Paul too talked about earthen vessels, didn't he? In 2 Corinthians. So all humans, husband as well, we're weak and we're vessels. But what does it mean here that the wife is the weaker vessel? Now, militant feminists, can you imagine if someone were here this morning and I read out, husband, treat your wife as a weaker vessel. What? I'm not weaker than my husband. How dare you talk about women being weaker? Well, what's it talking about? This is God's word, remember. It's God's word. It's not derogatory. You listen. Remember the heading I gave you? Lift up your wife with honor. So it's not talking about something derogatory. Weaker vessel, it's not academically. For oftentimes a wife has more smarts, if you want to put it that way, than her husband. Often happens. Don't hear any amen from the wives, but anyway. They may be stronger academically and in other ways. It's not talking about that, but generally, I know there are exceptions, but the general rule is man, the male, is stronger than a female. Now, that's just the way it is. And I'm not a doctor or a son of a doctor, but look it up. And as far as I could read, it gives you different medical terms about the difference between a man and a woman. And a man is generally stronger than a woman. I read and I checked at 2 or 3 sites. A woman's heart beats faster than a man's. A woman's metabolic rate is lower than a man's. It said there are 20% more red blood cells in a man than a woman. They supply the oxygen. So in general, now you say in general, a woman tires quicker than a man, unless she's shopping. And there's something about men, I tire quicker. But I don't know if that's true from medicine. Now, that is generally true. It's not always. So we're just saying that generally. And that's why a man should never, never use his greater physical strength to abuse a woman. They say it's 2 or 3 to 1 in marriage abuse. It's usually the man against the woman. Sometimes it is the wife. There are cases where wives are brought to court for abusing a husband. But generally, that's not the case, because men are generally more physically strong. And what Peter is saying is, you're to honor your wife by helping her with situations where she'll need your physical help. You should do the heavy lifting, as it were, in physical things. Now, of course, sickness can come into husband and wife. We know that. But we're speaking generally here. You're to show her respect. It's nothing to do with inferiority or superiority. Listen, a silk blouse is weaker than blue denim jeans. Which costs the most? Which is most precious? Which is most costly? That's all Peter is saying here. That's all Peter is saying. You see, I can't understand. I know names keep changing. I don't keep up with it. Some years ago, it was women's libbers, women's liberation. I could never get my head around that. I thought it was crazy. Why would a woman ever want to be equal with a man? I can't understand it. It's madness. It's madness. Why would a woman ever want to come down from her pedestal to be equal with a man? Because what this verse is saying is that, husband, you're to lift up your wife on a pedestal. You're to treat her with honor. You're to respect that she's fragile and feminine. And so you're to take care of her and prize her and honor her as you would a Ming Dynasty vase. So why would a woman want to come down to the level of a man? That's exactly what the verse is teaching you. Picture maybe you men are around the house, maybe in a garage or in a cupboard or in a shed. There's some type of container, let's say a clay container, and your nails, and you just throw the old nail into the container. You throw a few nuts, a few bolts, a few odds and ends. Have you got a container like that? And it's all old bits and pieces of nails and rusty things, and it's dusty and dirty, and it's in the corner of the shed. And I mean to tidy that up sometime, but you use it like a bin. And then your friend comes over one day, and he looks. What are you doing? Oh, that's just put odds and ends. Do you not realize what that is? What are you talking about? I think that's a pottery made by so-and-so, Wedgwood or somebody. Do you know it's worth a lot of money? Oh, you're joking. It is, and you're using it for a bin. What do? You get it, you tidy it up, you take it to the antique roadshow, and the man looks at it, the expert, oh yes, my opinion, don't take less than £30,000 or £40,000 for it. Wow, what do? Use it as a bin again? No, you don't. Why, you carry it. You'll probably get bubble wrap or something in the place. And you carry it carefully. And you set it in a safe place. Or probably you go and sell it. But you honor it. You honor it because it's worth a lot. Now, it was always worth that. But you didn't recognize it. And what Peter is saying is, Christian husband, treat your wife courteously. Lift her up with honor. What does the book of Proverbs tell us? The book of Proverbs tells us there in that lovely verse, Proverbs 18 and 22, you know what it says? Her price is far above rubies. That's how a Christian wife is to be looked upon by her husband. It says in Proverbs 19 and 14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. So what's Peter saying to these men, saved out of a background where wives were abused and women were looked down in society, treated like slaves? He's saying, Christian husband, now that you're saved, you are to live with your wife with understanding. You're to be thoughtful towards her. You're to lift her up. You're to honor her. You're to treat her courteously. Now, here's a third one in the verse. Look what it says next. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, you are to treat, look upon your life with grace, your wife with grace. You're to treat her equally. Now, I'm not contradicting myself. I said earlier about this equal, but this is spiritually equal. You see, a Christian husband recognizes his Christian wife, we're equal spiritually.
There's no superiority spiritually. Oh, I know it talks about the man, the head of the home in Ephesians 5, but that's not talking about spiritual superiority. Men and women, Christian wives and Christian husbands, we're to treat each other equally. We are both heirs of grace. We were both guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And the only reason we're converted is because God, in his matchless, sovereign, free grace, set his love upon us. And our heavenly bridegroom left heaven's glory and came to this earth and went to that middle tree, and he gave his life as a substitute for our sin, and he loved us unto death itself, and he took our hell there on the tree, and we're both saved, and we're equal. And therefore, a Christian husband does not seek to dominate in the sense of spiritual matters. Your wife's equal. Doesn't do away with the husband ought to give a lead in the spiritual aspect of the home. He ought. But you treat your wife not only as a friend, but as your spiritual brother or sister in the Lord. That's what Christian husbands and wives are. They're not only husband and wife. They're brothers and sisters in the Lord. You see, a marriage is till death do us part. But your wife, Christian husband, she will be your sister in the Lord for all eternity. And Christian wife, your husband will be your brother in the Lord for all eternity. Parents with their children. Yes, our children. But will be our brothers and sisters for all eternity in the Lord. This is talking about the spiritual relationship. We're one in Christ. We're fellow believers. And that's one great thing about a Christian marriage, that there's that unity in the Lord. In other words, to bring it back to how we're to treat Christian men or to treat their wives, you're to treat her like royalty because she's a daughter of the King. Isn't that right? She's a daughter of the King of Kings. The Lord loves her. She's the Lord's. And you're the Lord's. So live together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. I love the Song of Solomon, where it talks in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and 16. The bride or the wife is speaking about her husband, describing how much she loves him. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. This is my friend. See, marriage, there's a husband and wife relationship, we've talked about it, but there's a friendship, and remember, emphasizing now, not simply friends in day-to-day life, but friends in the Lord. That's the key. You're living together for the same aim, to glorify God. Praying together, working together for the Lord, striving to glorify Him together. And of course, that should be true with all our brothers and sisters in the Lord. What the wife is saying in the Song of Solomon, I'm glad my husband is my friend. Take it the other way around, the husband's saying, my wife, she's a sister in the Lord. She's my wife, but she's a sister in the Lord. And that's why Paul, over in Ephesians, let me remind you, he said, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Love is more than a feeling. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of conduct. It's a matter of loving so much that we're willing to die and give our lives. It's commitment. It's commitment to that object. Now, much of these lessons we've talked about, you may say, well, I'm not married. I'm not a husband. But there are lessons we've talked about this morning are applicable to every relationship in life. They are. Now, in case somebody might think, and I don't think anyone in this church would, but someone reading that passage, they might be sitting back saying, especially men, not so much ladies, because ladies think more practically than men. That's one of the differences. Men might be saying, I want to hear deep doctrine. I want to get into the great deep doctrine or some great prophetic mystery. Why are you speaking about husbands and wives? Tell us some doctrine. Tell us some great prophetic future event. That's what we want to hear. Well, this is very important because look at the last part of the verse we haven't read yet. Look at it. Isn't this amazing? That your prayers be not hindered. Oh, it's important. It's important. You would have thought that Peter would have said, husbands, live with your wife with understanding, lift her up with honor, and so on. Look upon her with grace, so that you'll have a happy marriage. Well, that's right. So that you'll glorify God in your marriage. That's right, but that's not what he says. He says, Christian husbands, you'd better do this. You need to do this, because if you don't, your prayers will go no higher than the ceiling. No matter how eloquent your prayers can be in a public prayer forum, or prayers at home, no matter how eloquently you pray, no matter how fervently you pray, you're wasting your time because there's a barrier. God's not going to answer your prayer. Why? Because of the way you're treating your wife. Isn't this serious? That's why these studies are so serious. That's why I decided to take these studies. This affects our spiritual life. You see, living with the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord, it's not a matter of, oh, that's in the church. That's spiritual work. That's my spiritual life. But it doesn't matter how I live with other people. It doesn't matter how I live at home. It doesn't matter how I relate to people in work. It doesn't matter how I relate to my brother or sister or friends. That's unimportant. That's not spiritual. It is. Because Peter warns these Christian husbands, if you're not by God's grace and by the enablement of the Holy Spirit seeking to live like this in a relationship toward your wife, God will not listen to your prayers. Isn't this a serious, serious matter that your prayers be not hindered? I thought about an example to give. And I suppose the worst example that I can give that sets forth the need of this verse to be put in practice. I was told it by a certain minister who authenticated the story. I don't know who the family were. I don't even know what part of the province or wherever. But I know it's a true story. I know the minister who told me, who's familiar with the case. Certain man in the congregation or the fellowship, put it that way, the assembly died. He was known for his eloquent prayers, faithful attendance. Wife didn't come much, daughter rarely, growing up now. The man died suddenly. Pastor, elder too, went round to the house to sympathize. We're so sorry on the death of your husband, the death of your father. You know what the grown-up daughter said? You get shocked sometimes in the ministry. Pastor, I'm glad he's dead. I'm not sorry. If you knew the way he treated my mother at home, and she used a strange expression, this is quite a long time ago that people don't use today. He wasn't the same man at home as where he hung his coat on a Sunday, or hung his hat on a Sunday. He wasn't the same man at home as the man who hung his hat in church on a Sunday. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that awful? Can you imagine the shock of that minister and those elders? No testimony in his home. No testimony. Isn't that tragic? And that's exactly what Peter's saying here, that your prayers be not hindered. Because all that outward public, it was just a sham. Oh, may God help us to realize that our horizontal relationships with people, whether it's in the family, we've been talking about the family, or whether it's with other people outside our family, listen, our horizontal relationships with people, it affects our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Isn't that what the Lord said? If you don't forgive men their trespasses, I'll not forgive you your trespasses. How we treat others shows our real spiritual state. May God help us to be the men and women and young people that we ought to be in all our lives.